Welcome to episode 23 of the Femme Fatale podcast. As usual, I have chosen some of the best of my listeners' questions, and I've got the answers all lined up and ready to slake your thirst for knowledge about all things Hollywood. I'm your host, Leslie Gornstein, author of the A-List Playbook and Haggard Entertainment Reporter by day. And if you doubt that a job like mine can age you before your time, please consider that I just had to watch Miley Cyrus's new video, the one where she swings naked on top of a wrecking ball on a chain, four times for research. Some things cannot be unseen. Anyway, this week, Baby Vegas, say hello.
Hello.
And I are going to help explain why you have to stop blaming teenage girls for what we're seeing in movie theaters. Yes, Twilight happened. Mistakes were made, as they say. But if you think that your 13-year-old cousin, Brianna, Morgan, Caitlin, Cheyenne, has ruined movies forever, I have proof that you're blaming the wrong kid. More on that in a minute. We've also got a listener out there who wrote to me because she's confused by Lea Michele's Facebook and Twitter accounts, probably because she's been looking at Lea Michele's Facebook and Twitter accounts. We'll get to that listener question. We'll get that straightened out. Plus, if there's time, more of your questions addressed. And just to torture Baby Vegas, I'm going to make him watch Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball video and comment live.
I have not seen it yet, so you're all privy to this virgin experience.
Oh, God. So many things wrong with that statement. Okay, so before all that, though, I've got a cage match so good that it actually enlightens as it gossips. It's been too long since we've had a cage match. In my cage matches, celebrity sightings are the weapons, and I have brought an arsenal this week with which to pummel Baby Vegas. By the time I stop speaking, you'll not only know where certain stars were recently, but also have at least one handy tip for better home entertaining. I promise. Let's see if Baby Vegas can do the same. It's a cage match.
Ow!
Should I go for? I'm going to go first.
Okay. Couple
weeks ago, I was invited to an exclusive party run by exclusive people. The place was the exclusive Sunset Tower Hotel on the Strip.
Sunset Strip. That place.
Marilyn Monroe and Liz Taylor used to live there.
What?
The Italian Job and Get Shorty filmed there. And recently, Ali Larder, the co-star of Heroes and the Resident Evil films, she hosted a shindig there.
Mm.
She's releasing a new cookbook today, actually. Today. It's a really gorgeous cookbook. It's called Kitchen Revelry. I'm not being paid to say any of this. It's actually a very pretty book. So she threw this party for, you know, influencers like me because I influence. And the wait staff served her recipes and her cocktails. In fact, first hosting tip of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you infuse raspberries with vodka.
Yum.
Then you take the raspberries out of the vodka, okay? And you serve them in champagne. You have raspberry-infused vodka you can set aside and use for something else, all while getting wasted on boozy fruit in champagne. It's genius.
My brain explodes.
Like drowning two birds with one stone. Anyway, so there were celebrity guests. Lucy Hale from Pretty Little Liars was there. She wore this tiny little top and this tiny little skirt. And I walked by while she was showing this outfit to Ali Larder, and Ali Larder was giving it like this big theatrical thumbs up. Emmy Rossum was there, and she was speaking very specifically and loudly about bruschetta. You know how you can overhear things and you're like, that was a game of telephone. I'm not sure what I just heard. I could have sworn that she said, there is no big bruschetta at Emmy Rossum's house. That's what it sounded like, but that did not make a lot of sense. All I can tell you is she was holding court at her own booth having this discussion. It sounded like it was about bruschetta. Now, there was actually a mushroom on toast thing being passed around. So I suspect that was the impetus, but I don't pretend to speak Emmy Rossum. Oh, Lizzie Kaplan from True Blood and Cloverfield was there.
Oh, yeah, I love her.
I love her, too. Do you know who her uncle is?
Who?
Howard Bragman, the Uber publicist. I know, it's a very small world. Anyway, she, the actress from True Blood and Cloverfield, she was there. But the best part of the night was at the end. Ali likes to use this trick where she takes a bowl, like any kind of a bowl, empty bowl, and puts her iPhone in it, and voila, the bowl becomes a speaker.
I did not have a sound system for the longest time, and I had a bowl to put my iPhone in.
Oh, you did this already?
Yeah.
Bitch.
Stole that.
I really thought I was, like, enlightening you. Well, anyway, somebody, how about this? Somebody found a champagne bucket. That's super classy, but she's never done that.
Topped.
And Allie used that as a speaker system for her iPhone. And Ike Barinholtz from the Mini Project was there to appreciate that.
I love him.
End of my salvo. Your turn.
Before I begin, I look forward to the day that you put out an entertaining slash cookbook, because you are quite the entertainer.
Those books cost about $100,000 to properly produce.
Dang.
They do. Like, between, like, we're talking about the food stylist, the lighting, the photographer, the ghostwriter, the editor, so all of it, like, together. I think you're probably looking at $100,000. So if you'd like to give me $100,000, I would be more than happy to do
it's
that
like
for
the
you.
The summer blockbuster of publishing.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So go ahead, get trounced.
Okay, so my cage match fodder is I was at Burning Man. That's the sound of my brain and my heart exploding.
Uh-huh. This is the first time you've been to Burning Man.
First Burning Man experience. Okay. And I had heard from a friend of a friend, happened to be on an art car late at night, maybe the sun, all the way to sunrise.
Is this the art car that you were dancing on?
There's so many. It's okay. So hard to keep track. And they turned to someone and were like, oh, hey, hi, what's your name? Oh, Burning Man, happy Burning Man. And I can't remember how exactly he introduced himself, but it turned out it was P. Diddy. And
Wait a minute. You were there for this?
I was not there for
so
this.
So you overheard somebody talking about an art car experience involving P. Diddy.
This is about 8 degrees at Burning Man away from P. Diddy. But supposedly, allegedly, P. Diddy was at Burning Man.
In an art car.
At the same time as me.
In an art car, physically inside an art car.
Oh, yeah. Everyone climbs up on them and
dances
until sunrise.
Now, you do realize that everybody was doing about, like, 6 hits of Molly at a time. So you could turn and be like, P. Diddy, what's up? And it's not P. Diddy.
And everyone's wearing fur coats pretty much as well. So it just adds to the confusion.
So it could have been some dude in a fur coat.
Exactly.
And it wasn't P. Diddy.
Also, allegedly, Anne Hathaway was there. Also, not allegedly, because there are photos on the internet, Stacey Keibler was there too. Uh-huh. I did not see any of these people.
You didn't see any of them?
There were good friends that I wasn't even able to see because there's no service. So if you don't remember their address or happen to be there at the same time, you're not going to see each other.
So these are just 3 people that you heard were there while you were tripping on whatever drug you don't want to name.
Yeah, no comment.
All right. So according to my sound engineer, who wins? He just pointed to me. I'm really shocked. Let's get to the first question of the day. This is terrific. Somebody wrote in with a terrific question.
Here comes a terrific question.
This is a terrific question. Now, this is not the one that you're reading. This is the VIP interview.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Somebody's got a problem with the teenagers, or more specifically, missing teenagers. Have you noticed that there's been a string of failures recently at the box office? 4 movies aimed at teenagers. Mortal Instruments just recently bombed at the box office. Beautiful Creatures bombed at the box office. And people are wondering, where are all the teenagers? Why are they not supporting these movies? What is going on?
Where did they go?
Is this another missing teenager? Do we have to get Nancy Grace on this? Is that what's happening? Well, as it turns out, there are several phenomena crashing at once.
Ooh.
Yes. You can't blame the teenage girls as much as you may want to for the recent collapse of the YA Hollywood film. You may want to, or you may want to rejoice and say, ding dong, the kids are dead. I did some research. First of all, I'm going to read the question, but I want to let you know that I have a fabulous guest doing this. Jeff Bock is one of my favorite sources. I'm so glad that he's finally my VIP interview.
Ooh.
He's with Exhibitor Relations, which is the premier box office analysis company, and I interviewed him earlier this week. We're on with Jeff Bock from Exhibitor Relations, pretty much the only place you go to when you want to know about box office analysis. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Leslie.
You're about to tell me something really, really great. You don't even know it yet. Here's the reader question from Kyle R. via Facebook. What happened to all the teen audiences for movies this year? I was expecting Twilight crowd to eat up City of Bones, and it barely scratched the surface this weekend. Also, similar fates have happened to The Host and Beautiful Creatures. It's a mystery that I know only you can answer. So this is the part where you tell me that the evil axis of swooning housefrows, tweens, and Iran is no more.
Well, part of that is true, yes. Here's the deal. It is almost impossible for studios to recreate the magic. And the magic was Twilight. The magic was Harry Potter. The magic was The Hunger Games. There are three out of countless YA novel adaptions that have really succeeded at the box office. Many have tried and many have died, and many more will be box office casualties, as we saw with Mortal Instruments this summer. It seemed to have everything going for it, and even a prime release date in August where there really wasn't a lot of competition. Well, guess what? It got dumped on, just like Beautiful Creatures did, and just like many more will. We don't know what's going to happen with Ender's Game this fall, as well as The Maze Runner in the spring. The only thing we know for sure is that Divergent really looks like the next in the line of box office successes. It seems to have all the elements, but of course, as in Hollywood, nobody knows anything. That's just the way the town works.
So why did those movies lack the magic for the screaming tweens?
Yeah, as far as the Mortal Instruments?
Yeah, like, you know, why are the screaming tweens, why are they, so, yeah, that's my question.
You know, the Mortal Instruments, it wasn't an awful film, but it felt rushed. It felt like the casting wasn't exactly right. And honestly, outside of a core young adult audience, it really never crossed over into the mainstream like The Hunger Games did, and like obviously the Twilight series did. Those were bona fide box office smashes because, you know, a lot of those demographics bled over from the readership to the movie going audience. And we just haven't seen that with Mortal Instruments or Beautiful Creatures. It never really went beyond hype. It never really got to that buzz. I mean, when we talk about buzz, that's the real deal. The rest of it's just hype.
So the teenagers actually, there is no evil axis of teenagers and swooning house frats is what you're saying. The reason why Twilight was so huge is because the screaming teenagers were joined by other demographics for reasons unknown.
Exactly. That's just it. I mean, one of the hardest and the most difficult demographics to get to go to the movies is young female tweens. Obviously, we saw some of that occur with 1D, This Is Us, but they were out there in force on opening night, and then it sort of faded away. It's really hard to sustain any type of film, especially one that is catered towards this younger tween girl demographic, that could really sustain itself without breaching other demographics, and that's the key. Twilight wasn't just about tweens, although they were the most vocal and they were the most alive on social media networks. But it really comes down to capturing multiple demographics, and that's where the hordes are really at, and that's what the studios really want to get is a picture accessible to multiple demographics.
So in other words, the next time you want to blame the screaming tweens for a movie phenomenon, a bad movie phenomenon, you actually can't, because they're actually screaming, but only tiny.
Exactly. And, you know, probably not even allowed.
Where am I going to direct my hate? Where should I direct my hate? I'm serious. Where should I direct my hate?
The hate for this is going to come to the older female demographic. That's, you know,
the screaming housefrau.
Exactly. That's where you have to, I think you have to focus in there and really go after that demographic and say, why aren't you showing up? And just shake them a little bit, because it really is. It's very hard to get that demographic to commit to films. But the truth of the matter is most films are still made for 13-year-old boys. So maybe there is a bit of reasoning there.
Oh, so we shouldn't be blaming the housefrau either. It's
maybe the studio executives that still think the only demographic out there is 13-year-old boys. And that's been going on for quite some time, and it doesn't look like it's ending anytime soon.
So it's baby bros. That's who I have to start hating now.
Shake the baby bros, you know?
Oh, great.
So there it is. There's a new place to focus your hate.
So who's dominating right now? Is it the baby bros? Because there was an article that came out recently that said adults are dominating at the movies again because everybody went to see The Butler.
Well, yeah, The Butler is one of those films where it's in a perfect slot in late summer where people are tired of all the spandex and all the superheroes and all the sequels. I mean, it just after a while we saw there was a little bit of sequelitis at the end of this summer. Films like The Wolverine and even Smurfs 2. I know everybody was really high on that. They didn't measure up to their predecessors. And you see that at the end of summer. You see this fatigue, this audience fatigue. And the butler was in the right place at the right time for a serious movie to come along. And that brings us, it bridges the gap from summer into fall. And a film like that is in a perfect spot in late summer, like The Help did a couple years ago. It's almost identical, the grosses that we're seeing for The Butler. So, yeah, I mean, that is part of it. People are ready for a change.
Now, final question. Why do I need to brace myself for the Divergent series? Is that the one where you're not supposed to fall in love because rules?
Yeah. I mean,
you've got the book. You're showing me the book right now on Skype. Why are you doing that? In my eyes, they burn.
Okay, take a good look, though. Doesn't this look like The Hunger Games? I mean, they're doing everything they can to make you think this is Hunger Games. I mean, Lionsgate bought the property, who owns, obviously, The Hunger Games. This is right in their wheelhouse, and hopefully they think a continuation of the success that The Hunger Games has. It's not going to be easy, because to duplicate that success, like I said, is very tough. Consider that every young adult novel right now is being bought up by studios, and very few of those make it to the screen. And obviously, as more and more of these fail, like The Mortal Instruments, obviously this isn't the hottest property anymore, because you're buying 3 to 4 films. And if you're only making one film out of that, you're losing a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of energy that you put into these series. The reason Divergent might change the tide, it really follows. It obviously has the female protagonist, but also a male counterpart. And I think that's essential, as we saw, even with Harry Potter. Hermione was a very central and very key element. And there was a lot of male and female characters in both of those films, or all those franchises.
But so, did Beautiful Creatures.
Beautiful Creatures did, but it really never connected. It was almost like everything has to be perfect, from the casting to the directing. There was nothing about it that really set it apart. And I would go far to say the same thing about Mortal Instruments. It looked like, you know, it's a movie you'll see on USA Up All Night in a couple years. It just didn't have really anything to differentiate itself. And that comes down to, I guess, not rushing a film in production and really understanding that that these take on completely new worlds, and you really have to make it your own. And of course, you've got to get more than the tween audiences to show up.
Unless these teenagers are forced to kill each other in a giant outdoor cage match to the death, it's not going to be a good movie. I just want to see teenagers killing each other with crossbows and maces. Is that so much to ask?
That's what we're getting. The Hunger Games will be the biggest film of this year, this fall. You know, that's what it's about. The stakes have to be ultimately high, and maybe they just weren't high enough for the Mortal Instruments.
Yeah, and Divergent is just like, what? Like, you're different. Like, I don't think there's anything in there about you have to kill somebody, right?
There is a little subversive killing in there, yeah. But again, it's a 3-part series. You're not going to get all the killing in the first one. It's not the Hunger Games, no. But box office wise, it's probably the next real contender.
Well, thank you for your prediction, Jeff Bach from ERC Box Office. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Leslie.
And we're back, baby Vegas. Time to read a question.
All right, from Catherine H via Facebook. Question for you, Miss Leslie. How can you tell when a Facebook page or Twitter account is the real thing? For example, I see a couple of different Facebook pages for Lea Michele, both with Facebook verified checkmark. Can they both be real? Why would someone maintain 2 separate pages with basically the same info on each?
They don't. I mean, because as I record this, there's only one official Lea Michele page. I don't know if there used to be 2. Mm-hmm. Facebook does, this is not a Facebook thing. As much as you may want to blame Facebook, there are a lot of reasons to hate Facebook. Yeah. You can't blame Facebook for this if one of her pages has disappeared. Facebook does allow official duplicate pages. Mm-hmm. So both of those pages were real. Mm-hmm. Someone on her team probably wanted to merge her 2 pages, which is pretty easy using the person-free Facebook bot system. Now, I'm actually kind of surprised that there's only one page, though. If you follow Lea Michele, you know that her Facebook presence falls into 4 distinct categories. Quoting herself.
Oh, my God.
Posing with dear friends such as Christian Louboutin. tributes to Barbra Streisand and demonstrations on how her stylists managed to create that perfect cat eye or top-headed bun.
She seems to really love herself.
The answer, by the way, is a super easy bun wrap-up tool. Now, I don't know how a single page can hold all that inspiration. There's at least part of your answer. As for Twitter, I wasn't really able to come up with a ton of officially verified duplicate accounts. I did a lot of research and I tried to find such a thing. Mm-hmm. And Twitter really was at a loss too, with one exception, a Twitter spokes-tweeter. tells me that the only occasions that this person can think of on Twitter where there could be multiple verified accounts mm-hmm. would be something like at Barack Obama and at White House, where okay. one's affiliated with the individual and one affiliated with an organization or a job. All so right. you might theoretically get like at Tom York and at Radiohead, both verified. Theoretically, right. but this really isn't something that you see a lot on Twitter, particularly to an extent that would cause confusion. So I'm going to call Fluke.
Ooh.
I'm going to call Fluke.
Sorry, Catherine H.
I think so. Speaking of Flukes, are we ready to torture you a little bit?
Sure.
One of the things that happened today is the release of Miley Cyrus's new video. And are you ready to watch it for the first time?
I'm so glad I didn't get to this earlier today.
All right. And I'm going to come over with you, actually. I'm going to come across the room. Go ahead and hit the play button. And I expect, I want to hear your reaction.
Here we go,
as,
y'all.
As Wrecking Ball plays.
All right. Play. She's the prettiest boy in that still that leads up to it.
Do you think she's done more for lesbians than...
Than Justin Bieber?
Than Justin Bieber, maybe.
You know what's unfortunate? I don't think I've heard many lesbians gush about her.
Really? Hmm. Here we go.
I think she looks more like a gay twink than a lesbian. My God, her teeth. Great teeth.
There's a little bit of saliva.
Yes, I'm catching that as well. Okay, thank you for bringing it up. So saliva strings, like bars in her mouth.
It's very golem-like.
I can't stop looking at it. Why is she already crying? How did that tear stay in her eye? Where is this hammer coming from? Is this what she feels like inside?
Wait.
She is the sexiest gay boy ever.
Now, what makes her a gay boy sexy?
She's got, like, the same body as I do. she has a cute, like, gay boy haircut. This is so funny. Justin Bieber becomes a lesbian, and she becomes a young gay man.
Have you ever, at a dance club, okay or not, swung naked or in your underwear on a wrecking ball?
I have new goals in life now.
And that's to swing naked on a wrecking ball.
To swing naked on a wrecking ball.
Because she's naked on a wrecking ball.
I can't wait. I know exactly what to propose to my dance troupe next.
Very clearly, though.
Oh, my God. Ew, that metal probably tastes horrible that she's licking this hammer.
She's licking, well, that's her sledgehammer. You got to get your own. Somebody on Jezebel made a great comment.
What'd they say?
Dust in all the wrong places.
Oh, that's Burning Man. But see, at Burning Man, you're glad for the dust. Here, you can so readily take a shower, I feel like you can't shake the fact that dust is everywhere. I want to know why she's so dramatic.
She's sad because she came in like a wrecking ball.
Stop rubbing your mouth on this stuff, Miley Cyrus.
She's also hitting herself rather hard.
Oh, man. I don't know. The nails are... Nope, nothing about her. I'm seeing a gay man.
Gay man?
Great boots.
Really?
Yeah. Such a gay man.
Did she steal your look?
She did. She did. Give it back, Miley Cyrus.
Which is what... It's the half?
It's the crop top and the, like, you know, half moon butt cheek exposing Speedos with boots.
Hold on, you're making her sad.
Stop licking that hammer.
Okay, I think we need to take this. We're going to take it away from you. We're going to take the toy away.
I can't.
So here's the one thing I want to say about this before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
This is, everybody's sort of coming down really hard on Miley Cyrus for being naked all the time and mm-hmm. alienating her audience. This is the only thing I have to say about that. It's almost like she was a teenage idol and then she went behind a scrim. And then she came out naked, looking a sledgehammer. It's a very it's a very sudden transition. You have to... Her current audience is probably around age 15.
Yeah.
Is she trying to mass dump her current audience and move on? Mm-hmm. Or is this what a 15-year-old wants? Final question of the week. Baby Vegas, ask it.
All right. Leslie Ann asks via Twitter, I heard the Butler cast worked for free. True or not?
Okay. First of all, we're looking at a cheap production budget of $30 million.
Whoa.
$30 million with 30 million actors.
Yeah. Wow.
Including some extremely big, expensive names, such as Oprah Winfrey, who took a lot of convincing.
Really?
A lot of convincing, yes, to do that part. And then all these legends from, you know, Jane Fonda, Robin mm-hmm. Williams, tons and tons of people did this movie.
Have you seen it?
I have not. I understand it didn't get very good reviews. I'm not, you know, I'm not that interested in seeing it if it doesn't.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I am kind of a prisoner to reviews. That's another story. So it's likely that not only the actors took a pay cut, mm-hmm. it's likely that everybody took a pay cut. And by the way, it's a pay cut. Not working for free, at least according to what I could find out. First, I think I found out where all the confusion for this is coming from. Mm-hmm. At a premiere for the film, the director joked to Reuters by saying the following quote, open quote, I'm just honored that all these actors came out to support me because I couldn't afford to pay them their salaries. All I could afford to do was yell at them and tell them that they were horrible and do it again. And they did it with love and I'm just really humbled, close quote. But... And I think that must have translated into people working for free. Uh-huh. According to The Wrap, which really has the inside track on at least some of the actors, apparently at least some of the actors didn't work for free. Open quote from one of their reports. All the actors accepted lower salaries for their parts because they believed in the project. That is not the same thing as working for free.
Absolutely not.
And we do know this. The crew, by the way, took mm-hmm. a pay cut. Kevin Ladson, who was the prop master, told the Washington Post that he took a pay cut to work on that movie, along with many of the actors. So again, that's another indicator that we're looking at pay cuts, mm-hmm. which does not mean working for free. Now, I did reach out to people close to some of these actors and the filmmakers. Particularly, I reached out to reps for Jane Fonda and Robin Williams. Those two actors are specifically being attached to rumors of working for free.
Oh.
No response. So maybe those folks can't afford to pay their publicists now, what with having, you know, no pay. Okay, enough of that. This has been another edition of my show, Baby Vegas. Do you know how to reach me?
Yes.
It's not on there. You have to memorize it this time.
Oh, there
you go. Can
you
do it?
They can find you at thefamepatel.com.
Yes.
They can email you at leslie@thefamepatel.com.
Okay.
And they can find you on Twitter at FameFatalSets.
Or on Facebook.
Or on Facebook.
Where I have a long ass freaking page name, but you can figure it out. And where can they find you?
They can find me at Baby Vegas with a Z on Twitter.
Thank you so much for listening. I came in like a wrecking ball, and I'm leaving like a much older woman. We will see you next week.